Thank you for listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. If you're looking for a better pre-owned buying experience, Lakewood Chev has certified pre-owned vehicles that are fully inspected, warrantied by General Motors, and have a 30-day exchange privilege. It's Lakewood Chev. Ryan Holt joins us, the voice of the Condors. And Ryan, it's been a pretty good run here by the Condors. I guess I want to start, first of all, not only was Jonas Gustafsson stopping everything, now he's getting credited for goals. It's quite the run for Gustafsson, who, after a tough stretch in Bakersfield, looks like he's found his game.
Yeah, he's been great here over the last couple of weeks. Really, ever since we went to Tucson last week, and I thought he was just tremendous in Tucson, and he's kind of taking the ball and run with it here. We had a home and home on the weekend, and thought maybe we might see Nick Ellis on Saturday, but Jerry Fleming went to Gus and said, you know, how are you feeling? What's going on? And he wanted to start on Saturday night down in San Diego. Ended up stopping 44-45. And yeah, as you mentioned, he was credited with a goal on Friday night too. It's just the 12th time in 81 years of the AHL that a goalie's been credited with a goal. So he's been good. His rebound control has been good. He's been calm between the pipes. And, you know, he's just really been a nice influence for this team all season in terms of his leadership and his veteran presence. But now, especially with the numbers starting to turn up the way they have here in March, he's 5-2 with a sub-1.5 goals against and a .960 save percentage. So he's really starting to turn it on here when the team's needed him most.
Now, what have you seen? Is he just calmer? Because when I watched him in Edmonton earlier, man, like every save was an adventure. You know, we saw him well far out of the net and sliding past. Has he just, you know, maybe become less active in goal?
Yeah, I would say less active. He really cuts down angles well from what we've seen here, especially over the last couple of weeks. But he's a, you know, goaltending, you know, they always say is, you know, strange birds or, you know, interesting sort of guys. And if you ever watch him during TV timeouts, he skates out to the red line and goes up and down the red line and never really goes to the bench or doesn't really stay in between the pipes. But, you know, he's found a little bit of a routine here and, you know, he's in a groove right now. And the team's very good defensively in front of him, and they're very good in front of Nick Ellis as well, too, who's had a very nice rookie season for the Condors. So goaltending hasn't been an issue for us all year long, and those two have been a big part of it. But Gus certainly taking the bull by the horns here over the last couple of weeks, and would expect with the three-game week this week that we'll see Nick Ellis in there at some point this week. But, you know, probably Gus again tomorrow night after a big weekend against the San Diego team, which I think had lost four games in regulation since Christmas. So that was a pretty impressive sweep.
Ryan, now looking at the Condor schedule, they've played 59 games. It says they have 12 left. Is that correct? Are they playing 71 this year?
No, that's not correct. Okay. I hope that's not our publication. Otherwise, I'm going to get in trouble. No, it's nine games left. We play 68 total this year. And since it's basically down to just the California teams that are kind of in the playoff hunt, Stockton is currently 4 points back of us. All you have to do is go by points. So the Condors are 4 points up on a playoff spot of Stockton with nine games left. And we have three this week at home, and then we hit the road for a couple in Texas. We go to San Diego and Stockton again, and then we finish with San Jose at home in what could be a playoff preview. So after this weekend, we play three at home this week, and then we don't come home until the season finale. So hopefully we'll clinch you know, on the road in Texas and make things a little bit easier on ourselves.
No, I just went to your website, and no, you have nine games, so it's not you. You have the Moose tomorrow,
right,
then you got the rain on the weekend, and then you're in Texas, San Antonio, San Diego, Stockton, and then the Barracudas. Now, is the playoff format, I know there's a crossover potential from the Pacific to the Central. It's allowed, but doesn't look like right now that's a big impact. But do you automatically stay in your division, or is there still a chance of crossing over to the other one? If let's say you finish with the seventh most points, would you go to second, or would you automatically play either San Jose or San Diego?
No, the playoffs are out of your division. So one plays four straight up in the Pacific, and then two plays three, and then you play out of your division, and then the division winners will meet in the conference finals. So right now the playoff matchups would be the Condors as the fourth seed, with San Jose as the top seed, and then San Diego, Anaheim's affiliate, with Ontario, the Kings affiliate, as the 2-3 matchup. So I think it's a great way that they've done it. You know, obviously we play the good chunk of our games in division, as do other divisions as well too. So to carry that over into the playoffs, where the games get more amplified, where the stakes are a little bit higher, you want to be playing the same teams that you played during the season quite often, you know, to kind of build those rivalries. And I'm looking forward to it. I, you know, obviously we haven't gotten in yet. There's still a long way to go, but it's certainly an exciting time for us down here, and the way this team has played here since basically the All-Star break at the end of January, and gone on a nice run, and hopefully keep it going.
Jesse Puljujärvi, Oilers fans are always curious, how's he playing? How did he look on the weekend?
Yeah, he's been, you know, his normal self. He finished off a nice 2-on-1 on Friday night to open the scoring. We only had two shots in the opening period against San Diego on Friday night. I thought San Diego played a better game on Friday than they did on Saturday, even when they had 45 shots. But, you know, yes, he had a goal to open the scoring on Friday night. Nice 2-on-1. And can't speak enough volumes about how Joey Lalechi has played this year as a winger. But Puljujärvi finished it off, and when he's been put in goal-scoring opportunities, that's what he's done. And I think he has 24 points now in 30 games, and that side of the game has certainly come together. And we always talk about, you know, how's the 200-foot game, and I think it's getting better. He's playing with Anton Lander now, you know, almost exclusively here on that line with Lalechi as the left wing. And I think Anton's a pro who, you know, kind of makes you do things that maybe you weren't doing in the past, and he's going to hold you accountable. And Anton certainly wants to finish out the year strong here with Bakersfield, and he's definitely been a good mentor with Jesse here over the last couple of weeks since they've been together.
So most Oilers fans would look and say, okay, Jesse Puljujärvi is definitely the best forward prospect in the organization, definitely the best winger prospect. Anton Lander has been lighting up the AHL. I might be going to the KHL. We'll see. As Joey Lalechi, Ryan, in your eyes right now on that team, if there was a second winger to be called up, would he be the one in line after Puljujärvi?
I would have to assume so. It's you know, I tweeted it out the other day. His evolution of going from, you know, a Hobie Baker finalist in college 2 years ago as one of the top defensemen in college hockey to one of the top forward prospects that the Oilers have right now, it just speaks volumes to one, Joey's character, and being able to make that move, because it certainly, I think, takes an individual with a lot of pride to be able to do what he's done this year. And that was basically, you know, hey, we have a lot of defensemen back here. We have a lot of, you know, big time, you know, heavy defensemen back here. We're short up front. Can you make the move up front? And he did so just prior to Christmas, and he's been on fire ever since then. And he's been indispensable in this Condors lineup. 18 goals this year. He had a beautiful power play goal on Saturday night to kind of clinch it for us down in San Diego, and has a tremendous shot. And I think the ability to be a winger and kind of be a little more creative is helping his game. And he's a tremendous forechecker. He's hard on the puck. He's great in the offensive zone. He's responsible in the defensive end. And the power play has been better with him kind of as the bump guy in the middle from the slot, because he can dish it, but he can also shoot it and get it off pretty quick too. So he's been tremendous. I can't, you know, sing his praises enough with what he's done this season.
Well, it is amazing, right? And it's, you know, you look at it, okay, sure, he's playing with some good players, but I notice, like, he's scoring just as much as Jesse Puljujärvi. He's a veteran, but he's not a proven winger at all. This is a guy who, with we see now more smaller skilled wingers in the league than we do defensemen, he might be one of those surprise prospects suddenly that jumps up the Oilers' depth chart as somebody they look and say, hey, this guy might be able to fill in for us down the road.
Well, for sure, and I've talked to Joey about it a lot, you know, on our shows down here, and you know, Joey just wants to play hockey first and foremost. Second of all, his goal is to always get to the NHL, and whatever he has to do to get to the NHL is what he's going to do. And he's very determined. He's always played with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. I think the size factors into that. But now as a forward, it kind of takes on a different dynamic because, as I mentioned, he is able to be a little more creative. You know, you can be, you know, you stay in the system, but you can be a little more creative and look for your opportunities and maybe test out some new things. And he's finished off now two 2-on-1s that he's just fed across to, you know, Puljujärvi here over the last week. But really, it was the play from Lalechi that got the whole play moving on both occasions. So You know, he's driven that line on occasion, you know, throughout the time that they've been together. And yes, he is obviously playing with good players, but, you know, he's a good player as well, too. So he's been great for us. And yeah, he's our top line left winger right now. And that's probably going to stay the rest of the year and into the playoffs.
One last one for you on the defense corps. Right now, if you had to vote, who would be the defenseman of the year for the Condors?
Yeah, that's a good question, because we've really had a good core this entire season, and whether there's been injuries or guys in and out of the lineup, Griffin Reinhart, what he's done consistently as a defensive defenseman has been tremendous. But I'm going to throw my hat in the ring here for Jordan Osterley as of late. Oyster's been a point per game guy since the turn of the new year, so January 1st. I think it's 24 points in 25 games. He had 3 assists last Saturday in San Diego. Just a really strong puck moving defenseman that when you do pair him with a defensive minded defenseman, things tend to go in our favor. And he's had that ability with Reinhart throughout the year and now late with Mark Fain as well, too. So he's been tremendous on the blue line. So I'll throw my hat in the ring for Jordan Osterley and what he's done from an offensive side of things, and certainly have been good defensively. But you got to make a good first pass, and you got to be able to break out of your own end. And that's been a big key for the Condors in scoring off the rush. And Osterley has typically been the guy that's been able to, you know, kind of drive that bus and make that thing happen.
Ryan, as always, we appreciate your time. Enjoy the little homestand before a 5-game road trip, and then back into, and it's interesting, the final game of the regular season against San Jose, which could be the team you play in the first round of the playoffs. So that could be a playoff primer right there.
Yeah, perfect. You know, we're looking forward to it. And yeah, as you mentioned, a big road trip up ahead. So hopefully a couple wins here at home before we head out on the road. But yeah, it should be exciting. It's going to be an exciting finish. And obviously, you know, good things up in Edmonton, good things in Bakersfield. So a good time throughout the organization here.